Do you ever get emails? I got one this week that I saved. It's from St. Augustine of Hippo. How'd you go through life with a name like that, right? Augustine of Hippo says this, God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. God loves each one of us as if there were only one of us. Can you imagine that? If we actually believe that? Wow. So, about 20 years ago, maybe more, there was a kid at Cathedral of Pines, seventh grade confirmation student after chapel, walks up to me and says, hey, pastor, tell me more about that Bible story with the dude and the whale. The dude and the whale. The dude is Jonah, right? The book of Jonah. We're looking at the prophets this fall. You know, the stories of the prophets, what they've done and this and that. And how that story hopefully will relate to us. Can we see ourselves in the book, et cetera, et cetera. I like the book of Jonah because it's short. There's four chapters. You can do it just like that. Not to tell you what to do, go home and read the whole thing. Amazing themes in here. Check these out. These are just some that I found. There's forgiveness, there's disobedience, there's pride, there's ego, there's God playing. There's second chances, there's anger, there's hope. That just names a few of them. There's even something in this book of Jonah that talks about God changing his mind. The book of Jonah is read annually at Yom Kippur services, the Day of Atonement for our Jewish brothers and sisters. It usually takes place in the afternoon. They've been doing it for centuries. Also, Jonah, this is going to be on the final Cliff Clavin fact. Jonah is the only book in the Bible that ends with a question. Did you catch it when Pastor read it? Chapter 4, verse 11. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city with whom there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? God leaves us with a question. Okay, so quite a story, the backstory before what Pastor read. Jonah hears the voice telling him to go at once and cry out against the Ninevites. And Jonah, pretty much everyone else during Jonah's time, actually more than him, they despise the Ninevites because they're mean, nasty, cruel, ugly, evil people, right? Arch enemies of everyone, especially Israel. And so, of course, Jonah does what? What any other red-blooded prophet would do, he goes in the opposite direction. You want me to go east to talk to those guys? I beg your pardon, I know what's best. And so he goes west, gets to this town called Joppa, which means beautiful, gets on this boat and goes out to sea, going to Tarshish. Well, let's just say things don't go well for Jonah. Is that fair to say? You've heard the story. Big storm rises up, Jonah's frightened, he goes into the belly of the ship. Meanwhile, the crew does what? They lift, throw him over into this horrible storm, and this calm sea shows up instantly. Gets better. A big fish swallows Jonah. It doesn't say whale. I kind of like the idea of a whale. It says big fish. My Hebrew's not that good, I know. This big fish shows up, and Jonah calls out from the belly of a fish. And check this out. You ever been in the belly of a fish? I wonder what that smells like. What do they eat? Well, it's got to be smelly. It's got to be dark, dank. Low as low can be, right? In the belly of a fish. Have you ever been there? I mean, in your life. You ever felt that low? Lower than low and smelly, and God does what? God listens to Jonah. God listens to us wherever we may find ourselves. And then God surprises Jonah some more. Chapter 2, verse 10. Then 3 days later, God commands the fish to spit out Jonah on dry land. Wonder what that guy smells like, right? It says God comes to him a second time. Love that. Let's try it again, Jonah. Now go to Nineveh and tell them what's coming. Tell them to straighten up and fly right or they're going to be no more. I'm guessing that God hopes the confrontation with morality will inspire the Ninevites to examine their own lives. Wouldn't that be great if we could do that every day? Jonah knew in his heart of hearts how evil these dirtbags, these Ninevites were. Everyone hated them. This big city that says takes 3 days to walk across. How long does it take you to walk across Minneapolis, St. Paul? Big town, right? 3 days across. So Jonah goes in a day's walk and cries out, hey, straighten up and fly right. And you know what happens? The people do. They repent. They change. Oh. Chapter 3, verse 10. God saw what they did. How they turned from their evil ways. God changed his mind about the calamity he had said he would bring upon them. God didn't do it. Huh? And so what happens? Well, you heard it. Jonah gets honked off. Didn't I tell you? Can't you just hear him? Didn't I tell you? If you didn't this, you wouldn't listen to me. I mean, crying out loud. He's just an amazing little baby. He seems to want to play God. He thinks he knows what's best for himself and for others. Can any of us relate to that? No, of course not. King baby or queen baby is a condition where we want what we want, when we want it, and we usually want it now or yesterday. Selfishness. Self-centeredness, dishonesty, fear, textbook king baby, queen baby. We know folks like that. Of course, again, it's none of us here. One of my favorite human beings used to say it this way to me. Curdy, just be reasonable and do it my way. Thanks, Paul. Jonah said, I knew, this is what, chapter 4, verse 2, Pastor read it. I knew you were a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. God follows up with what? These words. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, which there are more than 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Love this story. Just some observations for the next 45 minutes. The sailors throw Jonah overboard. That's death. The big fish that swallows Jonah, that's the grave. 3 days later, Jonah is spat out back on dry land. Is that a foreshadowing of the resurrection? Lower than low, right? God still listens to us. No matter where we find ourselves. And the Almighty tells us again, go tell the people how much I love them. Each of us, each and every one of us, are born with an opportunity and a challenge. In Genesis 1, it says we are made in the image and likeness of God. You. right? We each have unique gifts to offer the world and unique challenges as we continue to serve and to love others. This book, this four chapters of Jonah, teaches us that repentance can reverse any harsh decree. If the residents of Nineveh, those dirtbags, had the ability to correct their mistakes, if there's hope for the Ninevites, there's certainly hope for us, right? Jonah fails to realize his need for mercy and grace. And sometimes we do too. We have a God of second chances. We may feel that we're not qualified for serving God because of our past mistakes. We may believe that we've done something so horrible, so terrible, that God could never, ever forgive us. It's as if we're saying, yeah, but Jesus died for everyone else but me. I got to earn it. Second chances. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the Lord came to Jonah a second time. We have a God who specializes in second and third chances. Or even better, how does Jesus say it in Matthew? 70 times 7 chances. God's love for us is so hard to comprehend. God's compassion and love for everyone, even the ones we don't like, doesn't make sense to us. We, like the Ninevites, don't know our right from our left. We too, like Jonah, think we know what's best for ourselves and for others. It is so hard for us to comprehend our God, a God who will have mercy upon whomever God chooses to have mercy upon. It's so hard for us at times to comprehend that God's love and mercy and forgiveness through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is meant for all people, even the people we don't like.